89.9 WWNO New Orleans. I'm Janae Pierre, and it's time for All Things New Orleans. On today's show, we'll talk about the Culture of New Orleans series, check in with the NOPD's liaison to the city's LGBT community, and we continue our second line segment with Big Red Cotton. That's all coming up on All Things New Orleans. Stay with us. In 2001, Xavier University of Louisiana started the Culture of New Orleans series. The musical and discussion continues with The Sacred and the Sinful, Hymns and Blues in New Orleans Jazz. The evening is presented and hosted by Dr. Michael White, Xavier's Keller Endowed Chair in the Humanities, and he's in studio joining me now. Dr. White, welcome.
Hello. It's great to be here.
Yes. Tell us all about this series, Dr. White.
Well, in 2001, I became the Keller Endowed Chair in the Humanities at Xavier, and part of my job is to promote and present aspects of New Orleans culture. So I developed this series in an effort to do that. I do other things as well, but I developed this series, which is called the Culture of New Orleans series, and that's what it does. The idea is to bring some of our authentic cultural traditions to Xavier's campus and to share them with the community. So in that effort, we have actual community participants in different traditions, as well as sometimes scholars or writers or what have you.
How often does the series happen, and how are the topics and genres chosen?
Well, the series runs every semester. Every semester there's a program, and the topics are chosen by me. I have a list of programs. I always think of programs to do that might be interesting and unusual, and I add them to my list, and if it seems right at a certain time, I will kind of pull it out. So we've done over 24 programs in the series, and we've had a wide variety of topics and themes. We've dealt with Mahalia Jackson. We had the world's largest Mahalia Jackson centennial tribute back in 2011, and that particular one ran a week, but most of our programs are just a one evening event.
Okay.
So we've had all kinds of topics, like, for example, Louis Armstrong. We did a program called The Many Faces of Louis Armstrong. We talked about second line culture, and we had, you know, brass bands. Many times we have a performance component to what we do.
So it's a performance and a discussion.
Yes, this is a performance and a discussion. Many times there are lectures or talks or sometimes panel discussions.
Okay.
We've had programs with the Mardi Gras Indians. One of our recent programs was the African presence in New Orleans culture. We looked at the jazz funeral after Katrina as a metaphor for hope and recovery for the community. We've had programs on Congo Square, on Black Mardi Gras traditions.
So pretty much all things New Orleans, just like this show.
All things New Orleans, yes. So we talk about just about anything that deals with authentic culture, and we try to bring that to campus.
Let's break down the title to this current series that's coming up on Sunday, The Sacred and the Sinful, Hymns and Blues in New Orleans Jazz. Sacred and sinful, Dr. White?
Yes, I thought of that title. You know, sometimes it's good to have an interesting and catchy title. And that's what people think of. I mean, they think of hymns and blues in that way, hymns being sacred and blues being sinful. But in reality, those two forms are very important in traditional New Orleans jazz.
Yeah.
They both contributed to the music in terms of characteristics, in terms of vocal characteristics, which were played on horns, and also structures. Structures influence jazz repertoire. Actual blues songs and actual hymns have become a part of New Orleans jazz.
That's so ironic how that happens all the time, right?
Yes, yes. But, you know, many of the musical elements in the blues and hymns are similar, so the sacred and the sinful are not as far apart as people might think.
Yeah. What can one expect musically from this upcoming series?
Well, one of the things we always try to do with the series is present a unique program that is something different from what you're going to see or hear anywhere else. And what we have this time is my own original Liberty Jazz Band.
Okay.
We're going to play live examples of hymns as they were used in different contexts like jazz funerals and church parades and in second line parades. Mm-hmm. We're going to look at the first recorded hymns that go back to Sam Morgan's jazz band in 1927. And we're going to show how those are used. And then we're going to talk about the blues, the characteristics of the blues and how they influence jazz and the different tempos and moods that the blues can have. So for that, we have a very special guest, Cynthia Gertley, who's a piano player and a singer, mm-hmm. a gospel singer, and she sings a little blues too. So that should be very interesting because the main focus of the program is on authenticity in New Orleans culture. So that's what we're going to give.
What will the focus be of the discussions in regards to black hymns and blues?
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about the origins of hymns and blues, where they came from, how they were used, mm-hmm. what some of the elements in them were, and how they came into being a part of and a major influence on New Orleans jazz.
Okay. Now, Dr. White, listeners don't know this, but I've had the pleasure of sitting in your African-American music history class. So I know that this does something personally for you. So talk about the personal thrill you get hosting the Culture of New Orleans series.
Well, you know, I really, really enjoy this because I think we have one of the most unique and special and spiritual cultures in the world. And I think that, you know, many times we don't take time to really recognize it in the community and in a format such as this. These programs are free and open to the public, and so you can, you know, children can come, people of all ages, and it's entertaining, it's fun, but it's also a learning experience. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very happy and proud to present these kinds of programs because every one of them is something you never see anywhere else.
Yeah, that's the great thing about New Orleans.
Yes.
Thanks so much for stopping by on today.
Thank you, Janae. It's a pleasure.
Dr. Michael White is Xavier University's Keller Endowed Chair in the Humanities and the founder of the Culture of New Orleans series. Check out the musical and the discussion, The Sacred and the Sinful, Hymns and Blues in New Orleans Jazz, Sunday, March 12th at 2 p.m. in the University Center, 4980 Dixon Street. Transgender women of color were killed in Louisiana in the month of February, with two of the killings taking place just 48 hours apart here in New Orleans. The NOPD is investigating both slayings. Meanwhile, the gay community is frightened. Joining me now is Sergeant Frank Robertson, the NOPD's official liaison to the city's lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community. Sergeant Robertson, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Janae.
You've been with the NOPD for 15 years. Talk about the societal changes that have brought to light the importance of your new role with the NOPD.
Well, let me first rehab and match. It's not new, Janae. We've been around I've been around since January of 2015.
Oh, wow.
So in recent times of what happened, it brought my role to a new horizon to me. Mm-hmm. It first started a couple weeks ago, in January, with an incident that took place on Claiborne and Columbus, where a transgendered woman was getting attacked. And it looked like it was a game to those people. And in that role, in the public information office within the NOPD, felt compelled and obligated to let individuals know that there is a person here in place that's dealing with the needs of the LGBT community.
Mm-hmm. You are currently a one-man show. Your liaison role is 100% voluntary. What made you step up for such a position 2 years ago?
Because I felt the need that there was somebody, that there should be somebody in place to do it. And honestly, when Superintendent Harrison approached me, I was like, you know, Chief, I don't think I want to do this. I have somebody else in mind. So the chief re-stressed it again. Well, no, I think you'd be the perfect fit for it. So
now, after I looked, why did he think you were the perfect fit, Sergeant Robertson?
I guess he see my humbleness. Mm-hmm. I worked with him side by side, so he know pretty much how I am. And I guess he thought that I would be the right person for it, and I accepted the challenge. And believe me, I felt that was a badge of honor for him to even try to bestow that type of position on me.
Mm-hmm. In the wake of the killings of China Gibson and Sierra McElvin, what response are you receiving from the LGBT community?
I'm getting a large response of calls, text messages. A lot of people in the LGBT community are, you know, their main voice is that they want justice for China, and they just don't want the NOPD to let this fall by the wayside. And I'm assuring them that we're not.
Right. And of course, this case is somewhat close to you, correct?
I knew China. Absolutely. She was a very sweet person, very talented and gifted performer, entertainer. I know several of her family members. So that really hit close to home to me.
Now, were the slayings of Gibson and McElvin connected at all?
We don't believe that there were a connection in the two investigations.
Local news showed two individuals from the gay community calling the NOPD incompetent when it comes down to matters of their community. What is being done to bridge the gap between NOPD and the local LGBT community here?
Well, that's me.
Yeah.
That's where I started.
Okay.
And that's what I'm doing. I'm bridging that gap. I'm assuring that the people in the community that the NOPD is not letting anything of an LGBT concern fall below. I'm there letting them know that we are their family, like I've stressed many times, and I want them to feel comfortable with each and every officer that they encounter. And because we definitely need the participation of the LGBT community if we are going to get any type of crime that affects that community solved effectively.
Mm-hmm. Now, what does the future hold for your role? Now, you mentioned that you've been this one-man show for 2.5 years now. Mm-hmm. Within those 2.5 years, any other people growing what should be a department?
As long as I'm there, the role is going to be there. I don't think that there's anybody that I would want to do or will groom at this time. Now, I will say that if I plan on retiring or if I plan on, you know, for say leaving the force, then I have two people in mind that I think that could step up to the challenge mm-hmm. also.
And will it always be a one-man show?
I really couldn't tell you. I have a lot of people. Even from heterosexual officers, they're giving me a lot of kudos, and even they're giving me a lot of information too that help me, because I'm reaching out to the heterosexual community as well, so mm-hmm. and they're helping me out with that too.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Because I believe that's part of bridging that gap.
Absolutely.
Right, getting each and every community involved.
Right.
Earlier you said the deaths of Gibson and McElvin are not related, mm-hmm. yet and still their deaths highlight a disturbing number of violent crimes against transgender people in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. If not a hate crime, then what is it?
When you classify hate crime, the hate crime has different elements and different nexuses to it to classify the hate crime. At this point in the investigation, I really can't elaborate on, you know, whether or not Detective Barrera have even made that determination. But for a person, to me, to have a violent heart like that, that's a hateful heart to me, mm-hmm. to actually want to kill a person and gun a person down and
Absolutely.
Shoot a person those many times. That's a hateful heart, you know, but we can't classify it legally as a hate crime at this point.
Now, back in January, there was a video you mentioned out on mm-hmm. social media, which showed a transgender female being chased and beaten by an unknown male. Mm-hmm. What can you share with us about that incident and how you helped bring the person justice?
Janae, when I first saw that video, it actually sent chills down. I mean, just I'm having chills right now, even reliving it and talking about it, because I was, when I first saw it, I thought it was a joke. I thought it was a game at first, but then I actually seen to know this is real.
Yeah.
You know, social media, everybody posting these different videos and stuff like that. But I said, this is real. So I immediately got up and I showed the video. A friend of mine shared the video. Have you seen this? Mm-hmm. I said, no. I said, stop playing. Stop sending that. That's not real. He said, no, Frank, look at this. This is real. I immediately called. I went to our public information office, and I shared the video with them. I said, we definitely have to put something together to get this out. When we did the video, immediately, almost 2 hours after the video was on Facebook that we did from the NOPD, and how these individuals were actually like they were hunting, like game, like they were hunting rabbits or something like that. But almost 2 hours later, the victim inboxed me on Facebook and said that she wanted to talk to me. So I went to the location where she was. She said she was very fine. She was doing okay. She was just more scared than anything. And I reassured her. You know, I said, we're doing the best we can. We're doing all that we can to help bring your people to justice. And she told me that's all she wanted. Mm-hmm. That video that we posted, it showed the compassion. I mean, you could see on the video from me, from my response to it, the compassion that I had with getting this out. And it helps the victims to, I mean, it helped, made the victim come forward in this. And I think that in the future, from what they've seen in this, because I share this video constantly, I think it will help more victims come forward too.
Yeah, because a lot of people in that community are afraid to even come out and say, hey, this person is bothering me, or this group of individuals, they are bothering me. You know, they are threatening my life. That's hard to come out and say, especially when you're coming from a community of people who don't even feel protected at times.
Yes, and that's understandable. Not only in the LGBT community, but also in the other communities as well.
Absolutely.
It's the same way, but that's why I want specifically, you know, that's my focus, is dealing with the LGBT population, is that I want them to feel safe. Like I said, a lot of them, even right now, they're coming to me directly. You know, they're calling me directly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they feel more comfortable. And they, even though I'll stand with them, you know, when they go to the detectives, I'll be right there with them to go through the investigation, the process, and the interview. So, and that's what basically what I want.
Yeah. Sergeant Robertson, one thing I do know about the LGBT community is that they hang in the same circles.
Oh, you better believe it. And it's bond strong, too.
Yeah, very strongly. Mm-hmm. What advice are you giving to that community right now, a week after what's happened here in New Orleans, almost 3 weeks after what happened in Monroe, Louisiana? Mm-hmm. What advice are you giving the LGBT community?
My advice to them is to stay bonded like they are. Feel the need to comfort each other, be there for each other. We will, the LGBT community, it will recover. And we're going to make significant strides because we're going to work together in doing so.
Thanks so much for stopping by with us today.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Sergeant Frank Robertson is the NOPD's official liaison to the city's lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community. Anyone who'd like to speak to Sergeant Robertson about a crime or incident affecting the LGBT community can call 504-301-5869. It's time to roll with it. Writer and videographer Big Red Cotton joins us each month to share everything you need to know about New Orleans Second Lines. Big Red Cotton, welcome.
What's up, New Orleans?
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Well, that's good. So we made it through Mardi Gras.
Yes, we did.
And we're back to the Second Line.
Yes, we are. So exciting.
Tell us what Social Aid and Pleasure Clubs are rolling this month.
Well, we just had VIP Ladies and Kids, which is a great, awesome parade this year.
Okay.
They were highlighting cancer survivors, and it was just a beautiful parade. Everyone was in pink, and the kids were out there. It was just a lot of fun.
And
so
it was
we had that beautiful day. Sunday. It was a beautiful day.
Yes.
So coming up, this weekend, we have Keeping It Real, which is in the 6th Ward downtown,
yeah.
And that's on the 12th, followed on the 19th by Single Men, which parade uptown. It happens to coincide with Super Sunday. So we have two Second Lines that are happening simultaneously.
Yes.
And over the years, they have managed, NOPD and the clubs and the tribes have managed to work out a deal where you can kind of pop in and out of both parades at the same time. So it's good because, you know, you want to be able to support both. So there's that on the 19th. And then the Revolution back downtown, one of my favorite clubs, Revolution All Men's Club, they really put on a production, and that's on the 26th. So,
all right. So it's a busy month for Second Line.
Busy.
We're going to go back to it, but you mentioned Super Sunday. Let's rewind.
Yes.
Let's talk about St. Joseph Night coming up this month.
Okay. So generally what happens is, like I said, we have these two parades that usually meet in Central City in Uptown area. And so, as usual, I publish the routes for all of those parades with Gambit on their blog on Fridays, usually by 3 p.m. is when I try to get it up. So you can check with their blog and also my Facebook and Twitter feeds, which are under Big Red Cotton. We have the parade on Sunday, and usually St. Joseph Night falls on like the next day or another day afterwards. But this year, St. Joseph Day Night is the 19th. So same as Super for Sunday. So mm-hmm. we have a lot going on that day. You know, during the day, we have the big parade uptown. But that night, all of the tribes all over the city will be coming out and parading in their neighborhoods.
Yes.
And it's something to see. I mean, the Mardi Gras Indians are just a magnificent spectacle anytime you catch them. But at night,
it's a beautiful thing.
There is really something magical.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage all of you all, especially if you haven't seen the St. Joseph Night escapades, that you get out. I will be posting some information again on Gambit and on my Twitter and Facebook feed as to where to find the Indians
right.
that night.
Because if you're not from the city, it's very difficult to find them.
Yes.
As you mentioned, it's like an Indian underground world or
it
something.
It really is. And people not from here get very frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
I get comments like, what kind of garbage is this corner of, you know, in general vicinity?
They don't understand.
They
come right
not,
out to the hood.
Yeah. They don't want a specific route. Mardi Gras Indians are like free birds and they can't be pinned down and
you can't ask them
to have a route,
exactly.
right? But for instance, I pretty much follow them in the 7th Ward. So they start out, you know, at one of the chief's homes.
Right.
You can find them at some point going down St. Bernard Avenue, that mm-hmm. one little stretch between mm-hmm. Rampart and Claiborne, over there where the clubs are. So that is a surefire place to find them at least one point through the night. And really, you know, we're a small enough town that you can get in your car, decide what neighborhood you're going to track Indians, and drive around. You look for the police car lights, you look for crowds,
mm-hmm.
and of course, you look over the horizon for big feathers.
Exactly.
Big, beautiful feathers. And then you know you're on the right track. So, you know, if you free your mind up, it's actually kind of fun.
Yeah,
you know?
And honestly, if you if you take a moment and if you stand on a corner for a while and you see people joining you or people already gathered there,
right.
you're in the right space.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, relax and get into the fun of it. And
yeah.
if you have the right spirit, because it's a spiritual thing, and if you have the right spirit, you're going to encounter Indians and it's going to be fun and beautiful and you'll get swept up in the moment. And St. Joseph Night on the 19th of this month. Get out there with the rest of us and check them out.
Thank you for sharing that. I also thank you for stopping by for
right.
our second Roll With It.
One last thing. I just want to give a little bit of love also to Revolution Social Aid and Pleasure Club. As I mentioned, they're coming out on the 26th, all men's club. And they do a bang up job. They're one of my favorite clubs. They usually come out at Armstrong Park. They're stay downtown. And it is just, they put on a show. They have about 2 costume changes and footwork. Every last one of them is coming with the strong footwork. So between the attire and you never know what you're going to get, seersucker suits,
mm-hmm.
but it's always just, it's like a Broadway production.
Yeah.
I mean, they do it up. So give love to my people in Revolution.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's it. So, you know, make it a point. Come roll with us this month.
Yeah, come out and roll with it. Thanks, Big Red Cotton. I'll see you and we'll roll with it. Before we get out of here and roll with it, here's a tip for you second line goers.
First and foremost, please stay outside the ropes. I know you see a lot of people that are not necessarily club members or musicians inside the rope. That is not a cue for you to join them.
No.
Getting inside just to get that one shot is just like not, it's a bad.
Getting inside to show off your dance moves is also not cool. I mean, everybody's out there dancing.
Oh my God.
You can take it to the sidewalk.
Please, the sidewalk is its own theatrical stage.
Or inside our beloved bike lanes.
That's right. Exactly. So everywhere but where not to go is inside the rope.
Big Red Cotton is a New Orleans-based writer and videographer chronicling the city and its culture. She can be followed on Facebook and Twitter at Big Red Cotton. And that's it for this week's edition of All Things New Orleans. I'm Janae Pierre. If you have comments or questions regarding the show, tweet me at Miss Janae Pierre. Would you like to suggest a topic or guest? Send an email to Janae@wwno.org. We'll be back with you next week here on 89.9 WWNO New Orleans and 90.5 KTLM Thibodaux Houma. Thanks for joining us.